When it comes to preventing genocide, Michal Ronen-Softy believes one person can make a difference. She's a photographer and a descendant of victims of the Nazi concentration camps. In 2002, she went to Rwanda to document the War Crimes Tribunal. More recently, she traveled to Chad, just across the border from Darfur, Sudan, at the height of a government-orchestrated ethnic cleansing. You can view some of Softy's photos at our website at npr.org. They're also on display at the Skirball Cultural Center in Los Angeles. That's where NPR's Farah Chidea caught up with the photographer.
Give us a tour of this exhibit. There's a room full of photographs that look at both Rwanda and Darfur. Let's walk through the room, and why don't you describe a couple of the pictures for us, maybe four or five of them.
Let's go maybe to this photograph, because I think that it almost sums up the whole story. This is a photograph of a woman whose brothers and almost all her sisters and their children were killed, and only she and her sister remained. Here she lay on the table, all the photographs of the members of her family who were killed, and to me this, the living person with all her siblings who have perished, to me just sums up both what has happened but what she has to actually live with. And I think that very often we forget that the troubles didn't end just with the killings ending, but that the people have to go on to live with this. And how do you altogether make a life when the people who have killed your brothers and sisters live right next to you and you have to continue living with them together?
It's got an interesting structure to it. It's almost, what it reminds me of is like looking down at the mall in Washington on the reflecting pool, and then the monument, where you've got this long table full of photographs that leads up to this woman who's sitting very still and just gazing down at this long table of her lost relatives.
Then there is a more abstract photograph of just hands, and these are actually hands of prisoners who were being trucked to the Gacaca trial and then back to prison. They were all crammed into the truck, and I just could not believe how many they managed to cramp into there. And before the truck left, I walked around and saw the hands clamping on. They had to hold on in order not to fall inside the truck. I mean, they were all standing in it. Of course, they couldn't see out. But for me, these are hands. These are human hands. We can see that one person has a wedding ring on it, so we know that he's married and probably has a family. And
yet one can presume that at some time, at least if the accusations against them are correct, these hands were covered with blood.
Absolutely. They might have been covered with blood and they might have not. Afterwards, I saw a whole herd of animals that were being trucked in the same kind of a truck. When we left Rwanda, I was devastated by my own behavior, and to think that all of this had happened while we knew about it, I promised myself that if, God forbid, this happens again, which I hoped would never happen again, I wouldn't just be sitting at home and protesting, but that since I have a camera and that's my way of communicating with the world, that I would go there. So when the Darfur situation unfolded, very shortly after arriving at the camp, I just wondered, why do we feel that we need to wait to coin this a genocide in order to intervene?
You have a number of pictures of mothers and children, siblings, families gathered around these bushes or in their tents. Why don't you introduce us to one of the individuals?
Yes, well, I can show you here. This is a photograph of a grandmother holding her orphaned grandson. The father was killed in Darfur, and the mother died while giving birth to the little baby. And unfortunately, we can see in another photograph further down that this baby has an enormous stomach, and it's not a good sign.
Tell us about the look on the grandmother's face and the look on the child's face. Give us a verbal tour of your portrait.
It's very difficult for me to give a verbal description to something that is so incredibly emotional, and I would prefer if you actually did it, because that was the purpose of me photographing.
Photographs are so powerful because they are iconic, and this is a very iconic photo with the grandmother has age lines on her face, but she looks actually serene in a certain way, or at least able to deal with the pain of everything she must be going through, and she's dressed in geometrically patterned robes. The baby in her lap is wearing a white jumper. And the baby has this very wide-eyed look that so many babies do. It's just like, I'm in this world. I'm not sure why I'm here, but I'm here. And yet the grandmother's face is just full of suffering, but a sort of acceptance, a strength of that. And she looks like a very wise woman.
That's very moving, the way you described it. If you managed to describe it like this, I feel that it was worthwhile me traveling there, both for the lady in the photograph, for her grandson, and for us here, who I hope will act on it.
That was NPR's Farai Chidea. Michal Roni Softy's exhibit is called Rwanda After, Darfur Now. Again, you can view some of the photos at our website at npr.org.